Poo Valley, you know, that big dairy. They just rolled out the draft EIS, and all that manure, over 2 million pounds in that valley going to the ocean down the stream.
Oh, you don't need to worry, Bridget. Hawaii Dairy Farms told us they're going to be grass-fed, they're using a New Zealand model, and most importantly, they're going to be zero discharge.
Oh, no. Eileen, if you read the draft EIS, that has changed. They're not going to be zero discharge. They now admit they're going to pollute and put nitrates and phosphorus into the stream and into the ocean. And on the grass-fed, that's gone too. And most importantly, 7 days before they put out that draft EIS, they took into the department 27 major changes. They're not even going to use the New Zealand model anymore.
Oh, that's not Pono.
And people don't know it because it's not part of the draft EIS.
How am I going to comment on it then?
Well, I suggest you come to the Friends of Mahalapu meeting July 14th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Kaloa Neighborhood Center. Or, if you forget, go to friendsofmahaulepu.org, M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U. Or you can always call us 742-1037.
Aloha, Eileen.
Hi, Bridget. Hey, I've been reading Hawaii Dairy Farms draft EIS, and it says they're going to bring over 699 cows. I heard, though, that they were pregnant.
They are, Eileen. We just take the testimony of the farm manager, Jim Garmitz. He said they have to be pregnant to make milk.
When are they going to give birth?
Within 15 days, all the keiki will come.
Well, that's going to take a lot of people.
They only have 5 full-time farm jobs here. They have 8 full-time jobs in Honolulu. But you know what? There's 2,618 jobs in the South Shore, and that odor and the biting flies, they're going to affect jobs terribly. And only for $51,000 a year county revenue.
Hey, I heard that they need a permit before they start construction.
They do. It's called a general stormwater construction permit. But our lawyer established last week in that testimony that the farm manager put down application facts that are false, and he signed under oath.
Well, how am I going to comment?
Come to our meeting at the Neighborhood Center July 14th between 4 and 9 p.m. And if you forget, go to our website, friendsofmahaulepu, M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U.org, or call 742-1037.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Joy of love.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day. It's raining, and it's right at the 4th of July, and we're here in Hawaii in a beautiful place, and also it's a celebration of the United States independence, and I'm just here to be happy and glad we got a little independence. We can sit here with a microphone and say all the good things and all the bad things and get rocks thrown at us, and at the end of the day, we don't get beheaded. How about that? Now, that's worth shooting the fireworks off. But anyway, lots of things going on, and feel free to call in. We're just going to be loosely talking, and I want to give a little plug out there at Haleiwa. There was a protest at the Beach House restaurant. You know that. We've talked about it, and a number of concerned citizens got together and held signs and posters and did chants and pulleys. And so the concern is the impact and the cities and the state departments of health and Honolulu Department of Planning and Permitting has confirmed what we say, that if they're not corrupt, they are just simply insultingly disrespectful and all. Just horrible. And you just cannot believe. If someone's trying to call me on my personal line, 524-1080, if you really want to talk to me, 524-1080 is the number. But again, 524-1080 is the number if you want to call. There's some things here with this situation out in Haleiwa. It takes a lot out of us when violations are alleged and violations are supposed to be addressed and investigated and penalties are set aside, and you have under Mayor Caldwell, George Atta, and Atta, and Shalacom, and this process. If you know someone in the city, you're good to go. If you don't know anybody in the city, you're good to go. Now, is that true in the state? Well, you really don't need to know anybody in the state. You just need to go do your thing, and the state is corrupt. Corrupt agencies. We elected Ige, and I got to tell you, based on what I'm seeing and the response, we have almost zero representation in the enforcement and regulatory efforts on the part of the health department and the state health department under this Ige administration. We have, if you know how to get in touch with Ige and you've had sign in with him or some silly stuff like that, or you've had a business deal with him, or you played golf or whatever, you jog with him, whatever it is, you're likely to be able to pick up the phone and call him directly. But if you're Carol Cox, who's calling with an interest of some matter that is polluting, gushing fluids and oils into the ocean and streams and rivers, or crooked state workers, you have to go through their public relations person. And that public relations person is former TV personalities. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm beginning to become a little leery of TV personalities, because, you see, the grind is they don't have stability, and the TV stations are looking to make money, and so the cheapest hire and the newest hire. And so what you find is that good, decent reporters can't be promised a job or security, so they gravitate to the other side of the aisle, become spokesperson, communications person. And later on, we're going to talk about the things with DLNR, State Health Department, and I've reached out. I made a call to Suzanne Case, who we'll be talking about this morning. It's not about, but some of her behavior, nefarious activities that she spearheaded and initiated, consistent with other things that I've shared with you. I don't get the feeling that it's falling on deaf ears. I get the feeling that Governor Ige knows about it, hears about it. But because I don't know him, or I don't have political ties in the general sense, the conventional sense, then I'm a nothing and a nobody. And that's where many people make mistakes about good citizens. We try to tell you, and it would be like the little temple, as they say. It's a mole. No, it's, keep checking. It's not really a mole. It could be skin cancer. And I think if the practice is to keep ignoring people like myself or the general public like you, eventually something catches, and then the whole thing blow up. I mean, look at the lies with Caldwell and the promises and all of that with the rail and delivery dates and what we need, and give us a little more money and we'll fix this, and then now you find out it's just complete chaos. And my hat's off to those that champion the cause of fighting the rail and filing the lawsuits, but what were you really suing for? It was a moving target. You really, you should, in all honesty, if the judicial system was fair, they should call you up and say, we're going to reopen this case, but it doesn't work that way. But because what they gave us was complete bull, and so we're going to review your case and reopen it. But, you know, the judicial system does not afford that. They don't initiate it and ask you, but you, but What were all the hoo-hoo about, the bantering and discussion of rail, no rail, the hole peeling, no hole peeling, when in fact we don't even know the cost? So imagine trying to sort through all of that, and imagine all your life you learn, and especially now, we have the Independence Day. And I will tell you, if you were to step back and take a look at the fabric of Hawaii and how it's made and how it's laid out, the political layout and all of that, you could easily say this is not America. And it's not, and not to say that then we can say, well, see, I told you it's a sovereign nation. No. The conversation won't lend itself to that. This is a nation called America, but some nefarious and unethical and disrespectful things to the common man, the common people, decent people, free people, who stick their flags on the corner of the building and in their yards and adorn their houses with flags, and going to have a great celebration because of the independence. But rarely, on any occasion, can any of those people displaying those flags in this state or celebrating independence in this state can exercise a right as free people in this state to have a responsible government? Case in point. You know that we have an agency, government entity, that is operating both on the city side and the state side, and we are governed by laws and ethics. Well, we have no ethics leader. So what does that mean? It's a democracy, right? It's Independence Day. But I have called and asked the governor to come on the show and or give us some comments regarding what we're going to be talking about, the hiring, where Suzanne Case actually fraudulently took and promoted an individual that was a lower scoring person in the scoring procedure, testing procedure for a branch chief, and then dictated a letter. In fact, not only dictated, wrote the letter and passed it off to Thomas Friel, who she later gets rid of. She, in turn, diverted all attention from the legal process and hired who she wanted to by way of the governor's office, who was a friend of the people in government. So it's kind of numbing to sit and watch it, and you think, okay, Independence Day. We're going to all get a holiday and celebrate it. But really, is it independence when your own government is acting irresponsibly, not responding to you, or doing what's best for the general population? You can't satisfy every scenario. You can't. You can't run to every case. We understand that. But I thought that Neil Abercrombie would have taught all of us something, in that we can't trust the guy that we trust. And so I would think, in my thinking, was that a person like David Ige would come along and say, well, I see what the people wanted. They wanted trust. They wanted someone that they could trust. They wanted communication. They didn't want to have dictate. They wanted to have someone that communicated its wishes, its plans, and all of this, and the outcome that they sought. David Ige has flipped that on its head. And unfortunately, many of you out there don't take him to task in the media and what have you. It should be called what it is. And you take, for example, the situation with... I'm pulling up something here. The situation with the DLNR, right? This is a little note that I got from someone. It's an agency in crisis, they say. Highlights of pattern of it. Ferguson allegedly molesting a child in the state park facility, allegedly. There's another gentleman who retired but has concerns with stolen weapons and what have you, or misplaced weapons. There are allegations of that and being investigated, DLNR, and for going through trial or has gone through trial. I don't know the status now for molestation on Kauai. Then there's gun transfer. Then there's this officer who shot himself on the Big Island. If you recall, we covered that, and William Isla said, we're doing an investigation, and we'll get that information out when we get... Nothing ever happened. And isn't it funny that Suzanne Case is in this position, and then David Ige is the governor? They're hammering the hell out of Louis Kealoha for licking two stamps too long and sticking them in the mailbox, and accidentally knocking the mailbox over when he's walking backwards. I'm just kidding. But you understand. I'm being specious. But the problem is, DLNR, Case is the head of that agency. And time again, we've pointed out abuses, intentional abuses. And we're going to lay those out as we go. And again, there's so much that I think we have a good memory now. We were told about Abercrombie, as I began to say. We had the examples. Ige should have learned that if he stepped up to the plate, we would vote for him. He made the promises. But then you can't reach him. But if you are his friends, you can pick up the phone. Hey, David, you know, how's golf? How's jogging? You know, how's your new gym shoes? You know, but hey, David, Governor David Ige, could you come on the show and explain and give us some assurances that these things will not be tolerated under your administration, and that you will take immediate actions to eliminate them and eliminate the people? You can't get that. So, and I do apologize for some of you out there probably said, you know from my comments, I'm a transplant. And I say, you're right on the money. And then I would say in rebuttal is that so are you, because corruption is corruption, and it's something you nurture. You don't. It just doesn't happen naturally. So we're both in the same boat, but my expectations are a little different from yours. And so there was a caller. You call in if you want to call back. I don't want to play tag on the phone, so it when you call, I'm not just going to just shut off immediately until, you know, and answer it. So if you have something you'd like to share with us all out there and myself, feel free to call back. But have a little patience. The light goes on here, and then I have to then jiggle a few things and get there. So now about this DLNR. There were three men, that, and these are the facts as we know them now. And I'm going to tell you up front, I've spoken to a number of people. I've contacted Deborah Ward, left a phone number, left a recording, requesting that Miss Suzanne Case come on the show or give me an interview so that I can ask her questions. The truth be told, never even responded to even acknowledge that they got my call, and I call a second time. Then I proceeded to investigate and ask questions and call the State Human Resources Division, separate of the DLNR, regarding the filling of the branch chief on the Big Island. And just to show you how cliquish and corrupt this place is. Now, you would think I'm in my every right to contact the health, the human resources with basic questions. You, quite naturally, you can't give private information, and you shouldn't give private information about an individual's specifics. That being said, there are certain things that you can. So I called DHER to ask, if a person is selected in a process, two things. How does that person's name get on the list to be interviewed? And then once the interview is completed, then how is that person notified? And how is your agency notified? And what's the process? The process is, in this case, DHER tells me they create an eligibility list of names. So in this case, for branch chief on the Big Island, they said that three men competed. One of them scored higher, like 5% different than anybody else, and 10% or something, they were saying. But they wouldn't give me specifics, but... But anyway, so the person scoring the highest was selected. And then in turn, they're supposed to be notified. And please follow this because it's as confusing as it sounds. This is what you have for state agencies supposedly doing the job. So I'm told then, well, we get the names and we forward them to DLNR. And DLNR then set up the interviews and what have you. And then they select. And initially she said, well, and then they notify us at who was selected. Then later she said she'll get back to me. And then she got back to me and said, well, you know, if... I called the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and I talked to Dan Dennison, and Dan Dennison told me to have you call him. Oh, really? Okay. Communication specialist. DLNR. So, okay. I called Dan Dennison. Don't answer. Never answered. But he's the one that intervened and tell her to tell me to call him. You get this dance. I wasn't a good dancer ever anyway, and so I'm not going to start now dancing. So then the phone rings later, and she's now backing up on her words. Well, you know, it's a in-house thing. When they interview someone, they have the right to do this and do that and da da da. Yeah, but what about the scoring? Is you're the State Human Resources Division. See, and this is all about trying now to in the mode of protecting Suzanne Case, Mike McCartney, and the other folks up there in the office that run around and, you know, with the Aloha shirts on. And I tell you, it's the most sickening feeling. I would rather have my house bombed 10 times over than to have to deal with people that are inside of government, walk around like they own us, that we owe them something, and they got a job. And they don't behave that way. They don't think that they're working on our behalf. It's an insult. It's the most sickening feeling there is, that they can sit behind the governor's office door and manipulate the laws of this state, the hiring practices. That's thuggery. You can call it what you want to, and if you want my address, I'll even give you that. It's enough already. But we must tell it like it is. And so this person gets the job. There's a Suzanne Case, through my interviews, she didn't respond. The governors didn't respond. Jody Leong, you know her as a former news anchor, a news reporter here locally. And I call her, and, you know, it's like, hey, dude, you ain't got no power. We ain't going to talk to you. The governor is busy. This week he's busy. Well, can I get him next week or 2 weeks from now? You know, he came on my show when he was campaigning. You would think he'd come back, and when there are some concerns that we have, but no, didn't do that. So, too busy. Which means, for me, to get busy. That's, if you want to know how I react, I when I'm ignored, and they say they're too busy, then I try to catch up with getting busy as they are. And so, and it lends itself to good productivity. It really does. The product is much finer and better when I get rejected. It's a kind of a warm, cuddly feeling you get. You want to dig harder and deeper. And so I proceeded to dig. And what I found was that Suzanne Case, there's a gentleman, Henry Heinel, was selected for the position, vetted, scored. He was a top scorer. And what I found is that Suzanne Case, she's denying it now that she had any knowledge about this process, but Suzanne Case, in fact, notified Mr. Friel, the DLNR, DHERD, or internal or whatever, and informed them that a gentleman named Lino Kamakau had been picked for the job. And through my other interviews, I find that Lino Kamakau had written earlier saying, "Boss, I'm great for this. I'm here to help you. I'm backing you up. Let me know. I'm doing it for the love of this nation, the love of this state, the love of our resources, you know." And then what happens? Somehow surfaces he wishes to file a complaint or something to that effect about the selection process. I don't know factually, but I'm told that he was the lowest ranking. Now, mind you, I'm doing a lot of interviews talking as bits and pieces, but I'm sticking with my story, and if Suzanne Case thinks that I'm making false statements, then I would challenge her to present that and make it present, and I will eat my words. And there ain't much room in my mouth. You know how much I like to talk, so give it to me in small bits if I have to eat my words. But the bottom line is, Case then gets involved, does a 360, dismisses everything, and then dictates a letter. To tell the new person that's being selected that he has a job. And when it basically start dating all of that. And then she says to us, I didn't know about that. So, folks, it's time to say to Suzanne Case, we can't tolerate that. It's time to say to the governor. And Governor Ige, you know, I respect you and have always as a senator you've been. But there's a bigger, there's five fingers in this glove. And we need to tend to each finger of, so to speak, or spoke in the wheel. We can't just be concerned about the things that you're concerned with, and because the environment is important to us all, to all of us. Historical preservation is important to all of us. Clean air, clean water is important to all of us. The use of state lands and the preservation of state lands, the conservation of state lands and air is important to all of us. It's the backbone to this state's economy. If you think I'm lying, think about the sewage spills in Ala Moana here recently and see what kind of devastation it would bring on the economy. These are not just my fears. These are realities. So, now, again, Suzanne Case takes and turns the whole process on its back. She has not been met with one harsh word from anyone. These are causes and reasons to just be fired, let go. But then she's Suzanne Case, and then this is a plantation, and she's from the plantation, and she's a special favorite elite, you know. And so here we are. We are left to our own defenses because our governor and the people that is supposed to be overseeing her in the Human Resources Division that should be overseeing that instead get phone calls, tell you things, and then defer you back to them. Oh, well, you know, I see you escaped the fox's jaws there, young chick. Oh, I did. It was a struggle. It was nightmarishly frightening. I was a... Well, hop in the basket, and we're going to take you back over there. So this is what David Ige wants when it comes to the environment. He appointed her. Suzanne, you take care of that. I don't want any mess. But then when my underlings, like my appointees or whoever it is that I've appointed as liaisons for agencies, if they come to you and tell you to hire this guy and hire that friend of a friend of a friend, you get it done. This is what we, at the doorsteps of Independence Day. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, Carol. Jack Reed here. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. I just wanted to call and thank you for all you do for our island and all you do every day for life itself. I appreciate you. I thank you. To see the corruption firsthand in our government, in our ways, and for you to do what you're doing, I just called just to say thank you, Carol Cox.
Well, thank you, Jack Reed. But while I got you, can you tell I was expecting BJ to call, but maybe she got busy. You know, you guys are so busy out there. You're trying to fight the battles. But what happened and. What's with this DPP? I'm talking about corruption, by the way, so I didn't have to tell that because if we're talking about DPP, that is corruption, huh?
That's right.
So
I
apologize to the listeners out there for double speaking, but yeah, one and the same, huh? Corruption.
That's right. They are, and that's what we're dealing with here. It's unbelievable. The runaround you get, and then the no callbacks you get, and the disconcern of our government entities and our mayor that is in charge of these people is allowing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be able, because these are professionals, you should be able, let's take the beach house. We see violations, or you see violations, or if what you assume is violation, then you report them. There should
That's
be
right.
a healthy process where, and it's in place. We got inspectors, but for some reason, they throw out the anchor when it comes to public concerns and filing complaints with certain people.
You're exactly right on point with that. It depends on who you are and what you are. If I was to build onto my house a granite house and not get a permit or even get what's called a courtesy permit that I've never heard of, and then an inspector comes by and sees it, it's going to be red tagged.
Yeah.
Because I don't have permits for it.
And then you'll get a notice of order, a violation of notice, and a notice of order, and they'd ride you like you were a sweating bull.
That's right. And you know that it's taken phone call after phone call after pressure to, I believe, Tuesday, those things are going to be coming down.
Mm-hmm. But again, we've been promised that for some while now, right?
Yes, exactly.
And what's the drum roll? I mean, why they're striking up the band? They are already in place, and they enforce these laws every day. They are responsible. So what's the delay? You think it's politics?
Politics. Always. It always comes into politics, corruption, and I hate to use the word payola. It's got to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's really sad in many instances that I've found? It's either you look at follow the donations that they give, right?
Right.
And you think, wait, that's pigeon feet. That's not even, that wouldn't get you two round trip tickets to L.A.
That's right.
On a slow boat, right? So you mean to tell me you're going to degrade, this project is going to be allowed to go through, and it's going to degrade our environment, it's going to degrade our water, and it's going to impede the lifestyle of the people with no compensation, and you took $500 for a donation? So either there is more money than we know about, right? Or they hire their wife or whatever. You there?
I'm here, girl. I just, it hooked up to my smartphone.
Okay, yeah, you were a little gurgled there. But anyway, so what's going to happen now, the beach house in Holly Eva, you guys protested that, Friday night, right?
Correct.
And did the city call you guys back? And I noticed there was some digging going on, and you guys documented that, and someone suggested that it was not consistent with law again, that they needed a permit. They did not receive a permit, or did they receive a permit?
Hang on a minute, Carol. Let's do it this way. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better, yeah.
Okay, I'm in a place that is not good reception. We haven't heard anything from the city yet. That will be Tuesday morning. It's been documented. There's film, thanks to friends and people that are concerned like you. That will all be turned in Tuesday. And also, don't forget, Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Liquor Commission, TJ will be presenting her opposition to the catering program that is going on there also.
Mm-hmm. And all that is you're concerned with, public safety, the environmental concern?
Public safety, environmental issues. It's just the right thing to do is do it right the first time.
Mm-hmm. And if they insist on allowing the restaurant to continue in its current capacity or at whatever the number was that he's accused of exceeding, there should be some kind of turnout or something, both traffic in both directions, because right now you're inviting all of the traffic in to patronize a place, and it's two lanes. And one lane going either way, and if a person has to stop in turning in, then he stops and there's backup, right?
That's right. And the thing is, Carol, there needs to be an SMA study done, a complete SMA, because of that.
Right.
This project was close to a $2 million remodel and fix-up.
And so that constitute a SMA major, right? Not
correct.
A minor.
Correct.
So... But again, how can... This is what's perplexing. is that the city agencies, they're managers, they're zoning, they have zoning concerns to look, think about impact, reducing impact, getting efficiency. And any fool would know that if you got a two-lane highway going in and businesses on each side and throughout the along that street, you wouldn't want to impede the traffic flow. You want to improve it because you don't want to impact negatively the other businesses, right?
That's right. And 100% correct.
And people, now, if I was standing there thinking about this the other day, and I said, now look at Lanikea Beach. They were concerned about the traffic flow and the impact of the parking there and the people walking across the street to see the turtles, and then therefore it causes a little snag in traffic, right? Impeding flow, so discouraging people from coming to the North Shore.
That's right.
And then you turn around and then you address the Lanikea area in somewhat, and then you go up and allow it back in the town of Haleiwa to do the same thing. Someone's not thinking.
Well, that's it. It's even the parkland there, which is set to be a park. It's an unimproved park, but it's being used for commercial use by the beach house, by different people that have surf schools there. They store their vehicles there at night. The thing is, and my main concern there is, if somebody falls down, hits their head on a rock, who's going to pay for it? It's going to be you and me, Carol, and all the people listening.
Or at least get to managing and provide the cars are there, generate resource and generate place something in a secure area to address all of this.
That's right.
But instead, George Atta. And is it Art Chalicombe? I've dealt with Art, and he's a pretty decent person. But I guess it's definitely politics, because I know Chalicombe does the right thing. But so anything above him, it has to be lending itself to politics.
That's right. And it's not only with the city and county. I feel it goes to the state also with the health department.
Mm-hmm.
For me to talk to Mark Lum at the health department and try to get a hold of him is like pulling a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do get a hold of him, it's like, why are you calling?
Mm-hmm.
I asked for a study to be done on the stream and the pond as far as water quality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there hasn't been a complaint. I said, I'm making a complaint. I want it tested. So,
mm-hmm.
I believe this was Thursday, I got a hold of him finally and asked the question, have they tested it? Well, we went out there and there was no puddling on the top of the ground. Well, there isn't going to be puddling on the top of the ground now because they put in, I'm sure, another leach line that is going to flow it right into the stream.
Mm-hmm. Well, there, just looking at the barrier and what's in between the stream and it just does not look sufficient, and it's considering the substrate.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, I want to just say thank you again. I got to get back into church, but I just wanted to say thank you very much for all you do and for coming out Friday and helping us. And this isn't going to be the last one. We're going to continue doing this and gathering. It's not called a protest. We call it gathering. The next one will be a gathering concerning the mayor, the city and county department, and the state department.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against the beach house. It's all going to be against political correctness.
Yeah, and corruption. And,
corruption.
And sluggish. You know,
so that'll probably be on the 16th, I hope.
Oh, okay. Well, let us know.
I certainly will, Carol. Thank All right. you very much for everything you do again.
Aloha.
Aloha, buddy. Bye.
Folks, I get one time a week to do this, but through the week, it's discouraging sometimes. Not for me personally. It's discouraging that We have educated people like yourselves out there listening to this show who work. Many of you retired, and many of you still working. And you just hoping that you could just hear one day that good stories where you pick up the phone and you call in and you say, I saw this over there, and instead of telling you to call back, or that person's not in, or leave your number and we'll get back to you, instead they say, are you calling about 1080 4th Street? Yes, I am. Is it regarding the sewage overflowing into the... Just let you know, we took care of that. Our inspector went out there. We issued a citation. We didn't give a damn about who he was. He was the former mayor, but, you know, he has to comply, too. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to call an agency and then find out that they are proactive rather than reactive, and not reacting to the complaint, but reacting to that you bothered them because they don't have time. It's close to 3 o'clock now, and so my child goes to Punahou and or some private school, so I got to get out of here, and I just don't have time to linger with you here. What's your number? I'll call you back. Well, you get off at 3:30. Well, I know, but you don't understand. I got things to do. And that's the way you are received and treated in this state. And I was just telling friends of mine yesterday about North Carolina. I sat here in Honolulu, wrote a letter requesting information on contaminated water on certain properties. And I'm still amazed at the courtesy and the professionalism and the exactness of their response, and polite, and then gave you everything that you wanted. And I wrote the letter at 10:30 at night, sent it there, I guess 5 or 6 hours ahead of us during that time. I wake up and there is everything, maybe 600 documents in PDF format with a note saying, Mr. Cox, thank you for calling us. If the North Carolina Environmental Department, if you need any more, please don't hesitate to give me a call. Here's my phone number, my cell number, here's my office number, and you can also reach me by email, and if you can't reach me, leave a message with my secretary, and I will be glad to get right back to you. That happened, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm aware that this is why I'm complaining. I know it can be done. It's possible. It's just that here, it's who you know and whose palm you grease. And in many times, you don't have to use much grease in this town. We got common criminals, common thieves in government. Common, you know. They don't steal a motorcycle. They'll take a tricycle. They don't think big, but what we're losing is big. It's painful. So we'll be back in the next hour. I gotta play another commercial, and I say commercial is just a plug. But by the way, Jack mentioned that if you're out there in the Haleiwa and you want to, you have visitors in the town, or you want to try it yourself. Stand-up paddleboard on the North Shore. There's a small company called 808 SUP, and you should try and patronize. If you have family members coming out of state, coming into town, stop in there. And right there across from the on the beach there, and 800-SUP-0826. www.hawaiihi808sup.com. Caller, thank you real quick. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Carol, how are you? It's TJ.
Yeah, hi.
I'm fine. How is it going on your end?
Good. I got about 4 more minutes. Can you call me back right at the next hour?
At 10 o'clock?
Yeah, call me about 10:05, and we'll pick up from there, okay?
Okay, sounds
right.
Good.
Thank you, BJ. Bye-bye.
Yeah, aloha.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and this is she's calling from Hala Iwa, and we'll talk some more about many things.
Walk with me. Take my hand.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Aloha, Eileen.
Hi, Bridget. Hey, I've been reading Hawaii Dairy Farms Draft EIS, and it says they're going to bring over 699 cows. I heard, though, that they were pregnant.
They are, Eileen. We just take the testimony of the farm manager, Jim Garmitz. He said they have to be pregnant to make milk.
When are they going to give birth?
Within 15 days, all the keiki will come.
Well, that's going to take a lot of people.
They only have 5 full-time farm jobs here. They have 8 full-time jobs in Honolulu. But you know what? There's 2,618 jobs in the South Shore, and that odor and the biting flies, they're going to affect jobs terribly. And only for $51,000 a year county revenue.
Hey, I heard that they need a permit before they start construction.
They do. It's called a general stormwater construction permit. But our lawyer established last week in that testimony that the farm manager put down application facts that are false, and he signed under oath.
Well, how am I going to comment?
Come to our meeting at the Neighborhood Center July 14th between 4 and 9 p.m. And if you forget, go to our website, friendsofmahaulepu, mahaulepu.org, or call 742-1037.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. That PSA there you hear is regarding the plan dairy on the island of Kauai. We've been working quite a bit trying to support that in getting information and also educating yourselves out there as to what is happening. And yet again, another state agency dragging its feet and manipulating and placating, and there's an instance where I've personally made requests for emails now, and the explanation is we don't have any emails. We deleted them all. And this is a government agency. We're talking about emails that are just a couple of weeks, days old. I deleted them all, and I'll check with my IT people to see if they could recover them. Now, I don't know, folks, but I was told that in the state of Hawaii, it was a state belonging to the people, and the government was of the people, for the people, by the people. And I didn't know that an individual could delete emails related to such a situations as this or a matter as this. But we're going to be filing a formal complaint eventually on that. And once again, who do you file it with? No ethics department. I understand there's a gentleman from ACLU, Dan Gluck, who's being appointed, and then the city is appointing an ethics commission or executive. But again, we just have to wait. So the people's business is put on hold or on ice. So you might as well go there. And I'm playing a little of that music because it reminds me of the old days, and some of the guys that were in the military with me and all will understand this. And many of you that like that old school music, that's what you do. You get your glass of wine and sit around and talk stories and listen. So I'll play a few more, hopefully, and as rain fall, and stay dry, but keep a dry eye, too, because I'm sure these bring some memories back. Good morning again. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful.
All righty. So you're out there raising Cain.
I think we're raising awareness. We're not necessarily raising Cain.
I'm sorry. Cain, it's done away with. They quit growing Cain. So, okay, gotcha. My bad. How are you today?
It's okay. It's all this rain that's coming down, but we're not raising Cain.
Okay. Well, can you share who you are and a little bit of background on what's going on out there? And let's have at it.
Well, you know, Carol, everybody, I'm TJ. My family has been in Haleiwa for over 113 years. And what's going on in Haleiwa, and that we've become quite familiar with, is the local air fish pond, but more importantly, we've become intimately known with the Haleiwa Beach House, owned, operated, and managed by Andy Anderson, and what he's doing and what he's continually being allowed to do is just wrong. Mm. And that, in a nutshell, Mr. Cox, is what it's about. We've right. got rules and regulations. We've got the Department of Health. We've got the Department of Planning and Permitting. We've got the Sanitation Division. We've got the Wastewater Division. And they all have rules and regulations that everybody has to follow. And why do we have to follow them? Why are there rules? Because we want to be safe. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. rules are there to protect the community, to protect and ensure the safety of its population. Mm-hmm. Whether you be Kama'aina, Malihini, or just passing through. Andy Anderson is being allowed to get around all of those rules and regulations, and yet his establishment down there seats hundreds of people every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Mr. Cox, is why we are so adamantly pushing this issue to the forefront, to let people know, chip, chip, chip away.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he's doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a gentleman who lives in the area, built an extension to his house. Building inspector went out there and said, "Hey, brother, you don't have your permit, take it down." And he was not given the option of applying for a backdated permit or a permit after the fact. He was simply told, "Take it down. And mm-hmm. if you don't take it down, you will be fined."
And he took it down.
And you know,
did he?
Excuse me?
Did he take it down?
Yes.
At a great cost, huh?
Oh, yes.
And he didn't
more
get
cost
a...
than it cost him to build the extension.
Didn't get a courtesy permit either, huh?
Oh, no, he didn't get a courtesy permit. It wasn't allowed at that time. He couldn't even get a courtesy inspection. So, you know, he sent this letter out to the community last week, and it says, you know, when you undertake the renovations of a building that's over 55 years old, there are going to be gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
And he has repeatedly said that there were no plans or permits available for him to look at when he began his renovations.
And who is this now? Go back. You just said he. Who is a he in this?
I'm sorry. That would be Mr. Anderson, Andy Anderson.
Okay, all right. We were talking about another gentleman, and so just for clarification.
Sure.
All right.
Well, we've seen Andy Anderson many times on the news, in front of the Liquor Commission even, saying that there were no plans available for us to look at. This building is over 55 years old. We couldn't find any plans for electrical work or any other renovations that were done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he had simply gone down to DPP... And thank you to the beautiful women that work in that office. I was able to find approved plans and permits for electrical work and other types of renovation as recently as 1992 and 1993 for the established that was once known as Jameson's by the Sea, now known as the Haleiwa Beach House.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to blatantly and so often repeatedly say that there were no plans or permits is just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody wants to know what the permit number is or the plan number was when they were issued, please go down to DPP. Better yet, call me. Don't waste your time. I'll give you the permit number. I'll give you the name of the contractors that did the job because it's all there at the Department of Planning and Permitting's data office.
So,
on the first floor of that beautiful place called the Frank Fossey Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
So the information is there. And the fact that he would come out again and again and again and say there weren't any plans, that's a lie.
How many occasions has the inspectors visited since you folks raised these issues?
Oh, my goodness, I think I don't have enough fingers to count.
And still,
but
the outcome
only going
is what?
Out? Excuse me?
And what is the outcome in general, some of those visits?
Well, in general, some kind of notice of violation
mm-hmm.
has been written out by the various departments.
Mm-hmm.
But the notice of violation is no good if it's not enforced. We had a notice of violation issued on April 28th for renovations to the bathroom that were done without a permit, for a deck being built on the second floor without a permit, and for renovations being done on the first floor without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I understand, once a notice of violation is issued, the person that's been issued against, or the entity that has been issued against, has 30 days to remedy the situation. Well, today's July 3rd, it's been 63 days, and nothing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, what gives? Now, granted, the building inspector, I think his name, the Department of Planning and Permitting, that would be George Atta. I think in his discretion, he has the opportunity to allow more than 30 days. But it's been 63 days, Mr. Atta. Let's get on the ball. And nothing's happened.
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, I heard, I haven't yet seen it, but I heard that there was a draft order of the notice of violation. And from what I understand, I'm not sure if I'm using the right term, but from what I understand, once an order of violation has been signed, issued, and executed, meaning the State Department, I mean that State Department signs off on it, and the violator gets notice of it, a fine of $100 a day can be levied. Now, I understand that a draft of this particular order relating to the violation issued on April 28th has been sitting on Mr. Otto's desk since June 1.
Yeah, let me mm-hmm. help clarify something to my understanding and experience on it, is that the notice of violation is issued, and again, this is within the purview of the City and County of Honolulu Department of Planning and Permitting under
Correct.
George Atta. The State Department would not be involved at this level, say that anything you said is wrong, but just for clarification or clarity.
Thank you.
So then the notice of order, after the notice of violation, if the person doesn't correct, then there's a notice of order to follow. And even that can be, George Atta still has his fingers in the pie. He can then, there's a gentleman that handles notice of orders. And then once the notice of order, it goes to the process of going to the Corporation Council, and Corporation Council then takes an action. And then if you don't pay it or whatever, they can leverage your driver's license or other things and other means. So, but it's still within the purview, and I may not have it completely accurate, but it's not within the State Department. But go ahead.
Correct. So that's where we are now. I understand. Now, again, I have not yet seen the signed copy or a draft of this notice of order, but I understand that Mr. Atta has one on his desk.
Yeah.
And it's been there since June 1st.
And this is something, for the listeners out there, constantly, a common practice. Once you're appointed by the DPP, by the mayor, you basically can do the mayor's bidding and anybody else's bidding, and you can tell the public, go pound sand. And there's no consequences, and historically, no consequences. All the way from Henry Ng on the Mufi Hanneman to David Inouye to, whoever. It's just, and there's another guy that's rode motorcycles and was fast and fancy free. But again, this is what's eroding the quality of our life, this lazy, questionable practices that we see at the in the hands at the control of the Department of Planning and Permitting. Managers, or, directors.
That is so true, Mr. Cox, because, like you said, we are at their mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Until they pick up the pen and put pen to paper, nothing is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And these fines, once the order is actually issued, come out to $100 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're little over 63 days, I think, from April 28th till now.
Mm-hmm.
So he had from April 28th to May 28th to do something. That was his 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
From May 28th till now, nothing has happened.
I have a question. Go ahead. Finish up.
From what I understand, plans have not even been submitted for review. I could be mistaken, but from what I understand, plans have not yet been submitted for review.
Yeah. Have you gone before the zoning committee or approached the zoning chair, committee chair, Ikaika Anderson, on this matter directly, indirectly, or has anybody in your group or your effort, Blake or anyone?
I have not approached
mm-hmm.
Ikaika Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody else has approached Ikaika Anderson about that. I do know, we're talking about zoning, I do know that there is another notice of violation that was issued on June 7th, and it had to do with doing work in an area that is designated as SMA, or Special Management Area.
Mm-hmm.
And that Special Management Area designation comes about because of local air fish pond that is there, and the other resources that are there in the area. He has received a notice of violation, again, dated June 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, has a 30-day window. And as of Friday afternoon, I'm told that nothing has been submitted. Now, this notice of violation, if I'm not mistaken, comes with a $500 initial fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's $100 a day after that. But, again, an order has to be signed, issued, and executed before the fines begin.
Right.
And as of yet, nothing. But he's still got a couple more days. July 8th is next week, Friday. So So let's see what happens.
Let me ask this. The SMA, major SMA, minor, was there a letter issued or determination by the city, DPP, that said, suggesting or determining that a SMA, this project only needed an SMA minor? Was there ever a letter that went before the neighborhood board, that the neighborhood board, was it presented to the neighborhood board?
Actually, I cannot speak for the neighborhood board because I don't sit on the neighborhood board from that, but I don't know about anything of that nature.
Or a determination,
but I do know
that
he was informed.
But
that
was there, maybe we need to find out the formal decision. Maybe that's why they're playing so loose, because there should have been a determination, and it can work against you in a sense, because the party that it used to be Kerry McCabe, that party would have actually given businesses determined that some major work occurring really qualifies as a SMA minor. And it was just a matter of signing a letter. So I was wondering if there was such a letter, or maybe you might want to inquire about that to see, was there ever a formal determination?
You know, actually, I'd like to know that answer, too. And if I can find anything else, I'll be sure to share it with you.
And I'll try also come Tuesday. I was going to say Monday, but there's a party going on Monday.
So. I mean, you know, and Andy Anderson released this letter last week, and it was an open letter to the North Shore community. And in here, he was talking about, as a developer, doing what's good, you know, trying to renovate this building with no existing plans. And yet here we have plans.
Mm-hmm.
In black and white, you know, I'm sorry, it's in yellow and white right now, but it's there. And for him to say that, and actually I'm quoting you right here from his letter, quote, with no existing plans available. Let me go back a couple words. I can share with you as a developer, you can't undertake restoring a very tired, non-conforming 55-year-old building with no existing plans available.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are. I've got copies of the plans right here in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, come on, Mr. Anderson. We're not trying to shut your business down. We're not trying to take food out of the mouths of the families whose members may work at the Haleiwa Beach House. But for the safety of not only the community, but the employees and the guests that may come through your establishment, for their safety, we ask that you bring everything up to code and you follow the rules like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, we have a caller. Just hold on one second, all right? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
No, didn't they let him open the place since then?
Pardon me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't the city give him, didn't the city give him time, didn't the city let him open the place since up to today?
DJ?
DJ, I'm sorry, did he, the caller asked if the city let him open the place.
Yeah.
Yes.
To operate until today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're still operating, so I guess there's your answer.
Okay, but didn't he follow the rules that he would have less people in there than what he had before?
To some degree, but within 7 to 10 days after that order was issued, he was fined $5,000 because he tried to bring more chairs into the area. And it was in the news. He was fined $5,000 for breaking the agreement.
Well,
and what's even more is there's an amended agreement, and we've asked for a copy of that amended agreement, and we don't yet have one.
Well, maybe I can help the caller. Caller, yes, you're right. Didn't they did give him permission and what have you? But he was also in the meantime was shut down. Do you recall that recently? Shut down, and then he opened again. So
it's not shut down at all, is it?
Well, no. I'm just responding to your original question. You said that didn't the city allow him and to incur it? So just to say that if that's...
But when Jameson was there, when they were open, did you folks have any problems with them?
Well, I don't know what problems, the entire history. This was an expansion. This was an increased number of chairs and number of patrons and the impact and the size of the sewage disposal and the septic system. So,
Mr. Cox, if I may insert here, I don't know that Jameson's had this type of issues when it was operating as Jameson's.
And if he did, these things were, who knows, maybe that warrants go back and then it would speak to just how ineffective or inefficient the city was. I don't really know what Jameson's status was. It wasn't not the discussion right now. But I, you know what, caller, I think I'll inquire on your behalf. So I think I get what you're going at, but, I'd like to offer fuel to your fire, and I will go and look it up, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, BJ.
Mr. Cox, there's something else that I wanted to share with our listeners out there. In this letter that he released to the community, and again, I quote, the State Department of Health has signed off, satisfied we are in compliance with the wastewater system. Mm-hmm. Now, the issues with the wastewater system had to do with his septic system or his cesspool or his sewer system not being adequate for the number of customers that he was having in his restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the State Department of Health, if he's saying that the State Department of Health is satisfied that they're in compliance, then why did he have two backhoes out on the rear of the Haleiwa Beach House property on Friday digging a leach field?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Cox, if you could explain to our listeners, for those who don't know, what a leach field is.
A leach field is just gravel and what have you associated with a sewage processing contained septic or cesspool named and with some biological ingredients going on, and then that water is rendered not clean, but it's been processed, and it percolates through the gravel, and then bacteria kills it and eats it, and then it could be allowed to percolate into the ground. That's basically it, a leach field, and I wouldn't want one situated where it is there at the Haleiwa place, right there by the stream, by the fish pond, which has direct connection to the ocean. That,
right.
That bothers me. So, but, going back, it's so
But
awful.
I think what you failed to mention, though, Mr. Cox, is that area, again, is a special management area. It is not allowed to have a leach field.
Yeah,
at all.
I was going to say that, but I don't have that document in front of me. But again, some of that area would constitute, you look at some of the hydrophytes there, or the hydrophytics, suggest that it is a wetland originally, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So that holds different set of rules. But again, you're playing with, this is a difficult, and I appreciate the other caller calling in, but this is a difficult that people that want to go to the defense or suggest that the activists or you concerned citizens are not being a level thinker. But when the regulatory bodies just let everything go to hell in the handbasket and then you come along and try to sort it out, you become burdened with trying to piece together a puzzle that someone said, to hell with it, just throw it in the air and then, and then cover.
Where the pieces fall.
Yeah.
To hell with where the pieces fall.
Yeah. You understand, and so that's the dilemma that the general public faces every day. Professional people get paid good money, they got degrees and whatever, and they've dropped the ball because they get an order from up top, this is Carol Cox, take care of him. You know, and that's it. And we need to stop taking care of the Carol Coxes on this planet and start thinking about our community as a whole and the environment.
Right.
If we don't do that, we're going to be finding ourselves in a you-know-what kind of a hole.
Right, a very deep one.
Yeah.
But again, Carol, listeners, you must remember what the issues are fundamentally. Basically, the very basic issue in my mind, I don't know about anybody else, but the basic issue in my mind is the rules, regulations, administrative laws, statutory laws are there for a reason. Fundamentally, they are there to keep the community safe. And when you have anybody, any entity, doesn't necessarily mean Mr. Anderson, but when you have anybody that goes around the rules or the laws, you jeopardize the people that use the facility.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, his notice of violation that was issued on April 28th, he's not just jeopardizing his guests that come through that may use the bathrooms. He's not just jeopardizing the visitors to his restaurant that are sitting on the bottom floor. He's jeopardizing his own employees as well.
Yeah.
Well, even if the second floor is not available to use to the general public or his general guests, I'm sure employees still have to go up and down the stairs. Mm-hmm. They still have to go on that second floor deck.
Mm-hmm.
You're jeopardizing your own employees, Andy Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
When you, in your own, whatever it may be, in your own world, in your own mind, decided to build that deck on the second floor.
How do we know that
the studs are correctly placed?
Well, this is...
How do we know? Mm-hmm.
This is where the agencies that regulate fail us both, the person that has interest in developing and the public. There's supposed to be a balance stricken here. And I'm waiting for that day, one day, where someone that put in for a job and got maybe the agency failed to do due diligence or hold their feet to the fire, whatever, that they turn and say, well, we're suing you because you've caused us, you told us this was okay, you kept telling us it's okay, you gave me a courtesy permit, and now I've spent $6 million trying to defend the conditions that I'm faced with and with this crowd of people, challenging me. I'm going to challenge you, city and county of Honolulu. And I believe the day is coming, as we see it, that developers are going to probably start turning on the city agencies. It can't be imbalanced forever. And so...
We hope not.
And I think... But again, it won't be a problem for Joy Atta because he'll go and get a job as an engineer for some company that he was probably already with, probably farming out, contracts or whatever. I want to impugn his integrity so much, but... You know, this is the same George Atta that want to go in Waipahu or in that area with a church, New Hope Church or something like that. You know, he was on his way. He and Mr. Young, Sir Darryl Young. So this whole thing is, the DPP is a corrupt entity. And unfortunately, it has a responsibility to our safety. They don't really communicate, by the way, with the state health department. Even though they're working on the same piece of property, they rarely have any communication to say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And the state could make a decision, but they don't share information. And time again, I've had cases, situations where they don't talk. They don't even share memorandums.
Well, maybe this is an opportunity for...
Mm-hmm.
Redirection.
Mm-hmm.
I hope somebody from DPP or the Department of Health is out there in our audience listening. And I hope that you go back to the powers that be in your department and say, look, we've got to do what's right. Because you know what, Carol? What you said about somebody turning around, a developer turning around and suing the state is coming in the pipeline, I'm sure. Yeah. I personally don't know of anybody that's doing that, but it can only be a matter of time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I came in with my consultants, and we presented you my package, and you said that we could do this way. And then that didn't happen that way. I found myself against a contentious group out there, and it's caused me financial harm because I took your route, because the agency had other things in mind, right? And boom, bingo. So ultimately, the public end up losing either way. Because if Atta gets sued, he doesn't get sued. The public end up forking up the money.
Exactly.
So that's when does it stop? So okay. Well, anything else?
No, but you know, I just ask the listeners out there: call your representative. Call the State Department of Planning and Permitting and ask them to step on the ball. And let's get it done. Let's make and let's keep our communities safe. Whether a residential building be built, a commercial building, or mixed-use building, whatever it may be, let's ask them, let's demand that they remember why they are there. Mm-hmm. To ensure the safety and the health of the community.
Mm-hmm. We're
that's what the rules are there for.
Yeah. One thing, you going back a bit, we're kind of like in a quagmire, stuck, bogged down, because, you know, the employees, I've witnessed it myself, they'll come and say, well, you know, you're hurting our jobs, and it's like, understand, employees, and this is my message to you. You are a captive audience. You can't be vocal. You can't speak out. And you might find that the wires are hanging in a facility and exposed, and people could get shocked. You could see all of that. But if you spoke up, you get fired, lose your job. So I would say my message to the quote employees out there, we're not going to stand by and watch a facility, not just the beach house or any other place, where we are concerned that there are some hazards to the public, to the environment, and what have you, to other people. Your job is, we respect that, but don't burden us with protecting you from something that is wrong. You're going to get your $6.50 an hour or whatever. I don't know what they pay you. But spare us. The people that raise these issues, and we're not going to try to harm you. We're not job destroyers. But case in point, you look at now many of the unions supported the rail, and they were adamant about it, and they did some kind of interesting things. And now we see it cost overruns and the costs and the impacts on the general population, the little guys. Can't catch a bus, get to their job. So don't cry about protecting you when the masses are being affected too. Now, we're going to have to come to some agreement here that you see us out there, don't assail us verbally. We have that right. So,
but Carol, mm-hmm. We also need to remember they chose to work at that establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not to say that there aren't any other restaurants or any other jobs available in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at the restaurants and the shops that have opened in Haleiwa just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that these employees should be thanking us.
Yeah.
Because they can't speak up for themselves. They can't ask that, oh, you better go take care of those electrical wires hanging over there.
Imagine the grape pickers and telling Sheila Chavez, mind your own business. You know, you're going to hurt our job, Caesar. Right?
But I'm going to save your life. Because
so.
if you happen to be upstairs on that second floor deck,
yeah.
And let's say somebody bumps you, a guest bumps you,
mm-hmm.
and those railings or whatever you call those things up there on the second floor are not up to par, mm-hmm. are not up to regulation. And what if you fall over? We don't know that the railings are safe. I don't know if there's some kind of requirement for the types of material that can be used for that?
And look at the where it's located. Just that, and I'm not picking on this, but just for general conversation, or those very issues. It's in a marine environment practically. You're right there on the ocean. What happens in salt air, right? So does the state or the city have special requirements for certain grades or gauges of metal and type of metal? Or does it have to be coated? And then you might have aluminum railings and electrolysis set in. And then, voila, do you have electrolysis inhibitors, right? Built in,
yeah.
Or zinc plates, or all of those things come into play, because if you guy like me, you know, eat too much and stand on the rail and get all excited and lean and I'm go tumbling down, look like Humpty Dumpty, right? So all the king men's won't put me back together again, but I could have been still whole if the city had required and made sure that the railings were up to code that could take my weight.
Thank you very much. Especially because it's right there on that ocean.
Yeah.
And because we have that beautiful salt air.
Yeah.
We have Ehukai over there all the time.
That's right. Better explain. I got listeners back in North Carolina and Italy and everywhere else. So Ehukai.
Ehukai is the salt air over there.
Yeah,
the
okay.
Salt from the salt spray from the ocean.
Yeah.
That beautiful ocean that guests like to look at as the sun is going down when they're having dinner.
Yeah.
It's why we have all this corrosion, not necessarily corrosion, but lack of a better term, on our cars,
mm-hmm.
You know, because we've got all this salt air and we've got all this moisture in the air.
Yeah.
So is the materials that he has used to build his deck on a second floor up to par? Are they up to code? Are they up to regulation?
Or
can they withstand the moisture?
Termite-ridden wood, if you use wood, or the galvanized or the ungalvanized, or all kinds of things. So the footing on the post, not just picking on that facility. These are things, and then what happens if an accident happens? Then what? You know, too many people.
Yes.
How many times have we read, wake up and there's a balcony that fell and people were partying and to overwhelm the carrying capacity of that balcony.
Right, and if I remember, Carol, if I recall correctly, about 2 or 3 years ago, there was a building out on Sand Island Access Road, and there were some young gentlemen that had gone up the ramp, and they were upstairs on the second floor of that particular building, and exactly that happened.
Mm-hmm.
They were up there. I don't know what they were doing. I was not privy to the details, but two of them fell against the railing, and they fell. I don't know how many feet that is to the ground there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of those things.
And that's why we have zoning rules to protect human interests and to protect the environment and making sure that if it's compatible, we mitigate and move on.
And again, fundamentally,
right.
At the very beginning of the alphabet, A, B, C, why are there rules there? Why have these administrative rules? Why have these rules of the Department of Health and the Department of Planning and Permitting, why are these rules there?
Mm-hmm.
To keep us safe.
And why is it a special management area? A special management area because there's a school right abutting that right next door, where children come and frolic in the water and play and learn about the environment, and they can be affected by the potentially contaminated water. And just today,
not so much that, Macau.
But it's critical. All of that.
Exactly.
And then more.
All of that. But remember now, between Loko'ea Pond and Haleiwa Beach House, there's a stream, and that stream leads out to the ocean. And what is at the ocean's end, where that stream opens up,
mm-hmm.
There's all these people with their stand-up paddle boards, all these tourists, all these kama'aina out there, malahini out there, paddle boards, surfboards, boogie boards, fishermen out on the breakwater over there fishing.
Yeah, and
where is all of that water coming from? What is the water mixing with?
All right. Hold on, we got another caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask one question. I'll listen for an answer. Ikaika Anderson, Committee on Zoning and Planning Chair, Public Works Instruction and Sub... Anyway, how could he possibly be implicated in this problem? That's my question. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, BJ, you got any response?
You know, I'm not up to speed on that issue, especially with the zoning. I haven't done very much learning with the zoning, so no, I don't. But you know, I'm sure we can look around and ask questions, Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully that not just this site, but again, it gives us another opportunity to convey to the public just how badly broken the system is, and that I've said it before. I don't fault Andy Anderson for any of this because the regulatory bodies, and there's a great danger, a fragile position here. We can become the police in our own mind. But, and this is a law, and we think and we interpret it, but if we got a George Arthur who's sitting on his thumbs manipulating things, we're setting ourselves up for failure and impugning Carol Cox or Andy Anderson or anybody. This is why the agency should operate with integrity and be clear about what the rules are, and when they are brought to their attention, enforce them, inspect them, and regulate, and move on. But no, we're stuck in this, what would you call it? Cesspool of logic?
I don't know. Cesspool of logic, right.
Yeah, you know, they present themselves as being these fancy thinkers and planners and, you know, engineers, and then when you come down to it, it's like you got kindergarten kids sitting there playing.
And you know, Carol, these departments, George Atta and... I think his name is Michael Lum from the Department of Health. They've got the tools to execute and to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we have the rules, the reason that they have the responsibility of enforcing the rules is there.
Yep.
Use the tools. We have not given you a position without the tools to do your job.
Yeah.
It's like a child. You hope that you raise your child with the tools to survive and be independent.
Mm-hmm.
We give you Department of Health, Department of Planning and Permitting. We give you these administrative rules. We give you these statutes. We give you these laws and regulations. Use them and be independent. Stand up on your own 2 feet and do what you're supposed to do.
And when there's an issue, you take it before the zoning committee. You have that. You go to your corporation council. And say to them, look, we have a legal issue here. We need to
need some help.
And we need to put this before the board or something, right? But no, it's the whisper. Caldwell whispers to Atta, you take care of this, and that's it. And anybody disagree, call up and talk to me. We'll talk later. But thank you, BJ. If you got anything in closing?
Well, you know, if the whisper doesn't work, roar.
Okay, and scratch and claw. Okay.
Thanks, Carol. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, once again, confirming that I'm not paranoid, and these are realities, man. You might wake up something as simple as taking a basic bottle recycler and allowing them to operate down below on the first level, and you have a small apartment, 2-3-story apartment building, and you're on low income, and here they bring in bottles and recycling on the trucks and all, and should that take place? Well, you know, they say, well, it's mixed industrial, but try to tell those little children that are breathing that diesel all day, every day, and then look at the decibels that is generated from the clanging of bottles when they dump them out of their box and out of their trucks. Something as simple as that. Or the placement of these facilities, not just the restaurant, but other, you know, industrial sites, or tolerating things, or having conditions where if you dig up contaminated soil at school that they used termiticides to treat the soil to kill the termites over the years, and then you just leave it exposed. Well, state health departments should have regulatory authority to go in and at least make them cover it up or remove it immediately. But instead, in this state, we see a lot of activities such as that where they leave the soil open and it's just blowing around and dust devils, and the children are breathing it, and some of them end up getting sick and maybe leukemia or what have you, and then no one really knows. Wonder how did he get that? Was it environmental? No, he lived a pretty healthy life. But what it was that he was exposed to the city and county of Honolulu's lying and cheating and the state's corruption. That's what caused the cancer, the corruption, and the willingness to do friends favors and turn and look the other way. You know, Doctors Ontario, they always look for the cause of cancer, but the cause, in most of the times, it gets its form in just crooked politicians and crooked administrators and administrators that are willing to just abandon the interests of the people. So that causes cancer too and other bad ailments. So anyway, we'll be back next week, but we'll continue to talk about Suzanne Case, and I think, again, the governor, while you folks may dismiss us, we will grow. And always remember, the little speck that was considered to be a mole might not be a mole. Come election times, and, you know, the perfect, I still say thanks to the whole wide world for Neil Abercrombie, because who would have thought we would have dumped him so quick and efficiently? So, and I believe that we didn't do away with that. We're still mindful and watchful. And Governor Ige, if you think that you can ignore us because our problems are small, then maybe you should start considering what you're going to do after you leave governor's office. And all of these people that you've surrounded yourself with, the DLNR was a no-brainer. Firing Tommy Friel, removing him, and then willing to, you know, that Suzanne Case lied. She simply said that he resigned when she already had written a letter saying that he had been removed. His last date was the 27th. Governor Ige, these kinds of lies cannot be and should not be told, tolerated, or promoted. But I will commit this show and invite you and tell us something different. Tell us that you're in control. Tell us you will not tolerate such egregious behavior and such unlawful behavior and insulting. It insults us all. We have a petition now, and it's close to 700 people, and yet we don't get a response. But it's not about Thomas Friel. We've talked about the DLNR and its elements and its fragility for a while now. Governor, you accepted this. Surrounding yourself with the communications people and all of that to insulate you from this. Come election time, we'll be reminded of that. And if we are not reminded, I'll volunteer to remind everyone. We deserve better. We have a whole wide world out there that we need to protect, called Hawaii's resources. You're missing in action. You're trying to expand the whale sanctuary. Why do we need more anything if we have corrupt leadership in the DLNR? Favoritism. Why? What is this about? So we'll get it together, and you know, some of us have a purpose in life, and for the next year or so, my purpose will be to reminding the public that you abandoned us and you left us to the wolves and the thieves and those people that travel in the dark of night to do nefarious things and say that they are protecting us. We know better. Suzanne Case is not protecting us. She has repeatedly provided false information, manipulated, and she got rid of Thomas Friel because he was cleaning house. But with her favoritism inside and the grants and what have you and the interest that she has from her private interests, that's what the problem is. The branch chiefs were simply a means of using them to clean up and get rid of what someone would have done, clean house. And I think that you owe it to us and the public to resign. So we'll talk to you next week, but hang in there. Take care.
Show heard every Sunday.
'Cause I'm having such a good time.